What's up, everyone? Welcome into the Map by Monte podcast. Just a disclaimer, my conversation with Dave Madsen about BYU and USF, I did not have a mic, so it doesn't sound as good as I want it to. Bear with me. You can still hear it, but that happened, and I'm bummed out about it. But nevertheless, me and Dave Madsen, we preview the matchup between the Bulls and the Cougars tomorrow on September 3rd. We talk about Jaren Hall, what we're expecting from him, our biggest concerns with the matchup, and then our predictions as well. So football's back. I loved watching the backyard brawl. Pitt, West Virginia, crazy finish. It's here. There's going to be a lot of football in this podcast going forward. And there's going to be a lot of football, obviously, on Cougar Sports Saturday, my show with Mitch Harper. So subscribe to both of these. I think you'll have a lot of great content to get you ready for each and every game all throughout the football season for BYU. So thanks for listening. Without further ado, let's get to it. Me and Dave Madsen. What's up, everyone? Welcome into the Matt Biamonte podcast. And I apologize for the audio on my end, technical difficulties. I think it's Dave Madsen's old phone that has broken all my microphones here in the Biamonte household. But hey, something's better than nothing, right, Dave?
Absolutely. Absolutely. What's happening, Matt?
Hey, not much, man. Just enjoyed the backyard brawl. So we're recording this on a Thursday night. Wasn't it crazy?
Oh my gosh, that was unreal. What a perfect way.
Was that a catch at the end or no?
I think they made the right call, though. It pains me to admit it.
I do too.
That was close. I thought he had it. I thought it was a catch, and I thought he got under it. And then the replay, I was like, oh, nope. But that was, man, what a crazy – I mean – not to get off, you know, too much on a tangent, but I mean, it's a great way to kick off college football. What do you think of the West Virginia coach electing to punt on the 4th and inches, you know?
Horrible decision.
Yeah.
I didn't like it live. I mean, it's easy to say this now, but my wife can back me up when I say this. She was watching it with me. I didn't like it live because it just felt like, so what? You're up 7.
Yep.
Yep, if you give them good field position, they tie the game, you have the ball again.
Yep.
But it's so easy to say this now, but this is just a lesson learned going forward. And hopefully BYU coaches were paying attention to this. And we'll talk about BYU football here in a minute. But momentum is a real thing in college football.
Agreed.
And when a team goes 90-some-odd yards to score to tie the game, that's a real momentum shifter. So you don't get a lot of opportunities up 7 with a chance to extend the lead late in the 4th. You just got to take it. And if you can't convert, then it is what it is. But I'd rather lose that way than do what they did.
Yep, I totally agree. Like, be aggressive. And I think Kalani's shown tight end BYU. In the past, it feels like he's generally been pretty aggressive, it seems like, in those situations. But I'm with you, man. I mean, Donaldson, I think their running back for West Virginia was just running all over Pitt. And it's like, dude, just give it to that guy. The O-line, it seemed like, was leaning on Pitt's D-line there. Like, just go out and win the game. Like, be aggressive. So, I'm with you, man.
Let's turn the page over to BYU.
Okay.
Were you gonna throw something else in there?
Oh, just what a crazy game it was, right? I mean, the next possession for West Virginia, the wide open receiver, ball goes right off his hands to the Pitt defender who takes it to the house. I mean, what a crazy – it was just a crazy game. Crazy couple of minutes, huge swing, and I don't know. Yeah, that was nuts, man.
BYU and USF, you, me, and maybe Jordan Smith, who knows? He has phone problems too, so it's sweeping the Western Hemisphere apparently, but we're going to try and just catch up and talk like we used to in the early days of Kalani Sitake before each game. This is the third meeting between these teams. BYU won last year. They lost in 2019. Jaren Hall, maybe a revenge game of sorts. From your perspective, are you afraid of this game?
No. And I think that worries me that I'm not. If that
makes sense. It does. Yes, it does.
I mean, USF, 2-10 last year, if I remember right. They had a little momentum at the end of the year. I mean, they had some close games, I think. They little momentum at the end of the year where they had a close game against UCF. Gary Bohannon transferring over there at quarterback. I know they had a lot of new guys that transferred in. Obviously traveling two time zones away, back east, Florida heat, you never know. But man, I don't know. I watched the Kalani Sitake show this week. Jaren Hall was on there. And I got to say, man, I am super excited. I just think this team is ready and raring to go. I think that they're going to go out and make a statement. I think that they got a chip on their shoulder because of, the low preseason ranking that they got. I think they feel like, they got, I think they feel like they got a little jilted there. They
They
got a
did
little,
get jilted.
And they got jobbed. And yeah, so I'm not, I feel like this is going to be like a 45-17 type win for BYU.
You do.
Would be my
Whoa.
Prediction. Yeah. Again, and that worries me that I say that, but man, I believe in this offense. Jaren Hall is just a total stud. And, I think USF maybe, I think that they could be good this year. And obviously, it remains to be seen. You never know on any given Saturday. But I just think that BYU is going to go out and make a statement and lay the hammer down.
I hope that you're right. I'm a little worried about the conditions. I think BYU is certainly capable of a win like that.
Yeah, what are the conditions, if you don't mind me asking? Because last time I saw, I'd heard there were going to be thunderstorms, and last I saw, it said it was going to be sunny and like 93.
Yeah, 93, aka feels like 110. So my sister and brother-in-law just moved to a town in between Orlando and Tampa. And my parents just flew out there 2 weeks ago to visit them for the first time since they moved like 2 months ago. And for a week straight, we just got flooded with videos and commentary about how it was so freaking hot. It was like the second you open the door, you're walking into a sauna. And so, that's coming from my family in Utah. Like, that's how it's going to feel to BYU. So I think there is a little bit of an edge to USF just because that's the weather they're used to. I am worried about it. I'm worried about the weather too, because if it's wet, it just changes football games.
Yeah,
You
it's kind of
like
the great equalizer.
I talked to Aaron Roderick this week. I asked the question even. I don't know if you heard this, Dave.
I don't know if I actually didn't. I don't think I heard this one. I didn't listen to any interview
I
from
asked him if
A-Rod
they
this
do any
week, so.
wet ball work. I mean, it's kind of a lame question, but anticipating, I never know how to phrase those questions, by the way. And like a, Aaron, do you guys do you do any wet ball work? And it's just like I don't think I phrased it quite like that, but he was like, I mean, we do, but he's like, sometimes we prepare for it and then it doesn't help us, and other times we don't prepare for it and it does help us. So it's anything can happen, right? When it's wet, that's the thing. So
It's
there
true. I mean, sorry, I was just gonna say, I mean, you just look, no further than last year, right? I mean, we're handily, beating Utah, and kind of the rain started sweeping in the fourth. If I remember right, our offense just went three and out, on that
Yep.
possession and kicked it to Utah. And I think the rain let up then. Utah went down and scored to make it a game. And then obviously the Boise State game, right? Where those two
UAB as
huge
well.
fumbles and UAB, you're right. I mean, it seemed like the games, I don't know, two of our losses we could directly, not directly attribute, but I mean, part of it was the weather and hanging on to the football. So you're right. I mean, I think that can be an equalizer. And it probably favors the underdog a little bit in that scenario, since it kind of widens the spectrum of possibilities, right, of things that could happen. So, I mean, you're right. I think that could be an issue. I did hear an interview with Jaren, where I think someone asked him about conditions and the wet ball, and he talked about, yeah, they've got their wet ball drills. They're not too concerned about it. You mentioned the other team's obviously going to be in those, conditions as well. But I think to your point, USF is probably more used to that weather. I mean, obviously they are. Does it help though that BYU is now in Florida today, right? So they get a day
to No, it doesn't. No.
You don't think so?
It doesn't. No, come on. Think this out loud. Let's get to our destination a day early, and we'll be completely acclimated in 2 days.
Well, that's an acclimated, but at least they'll, you know.
At least what? The extra day is going to make the difference? No. These players don't live in that climate. Even a week down there wouldn't be enough. It's just, it's different, man. I know the bodies can adapt to change quickly, but not that quick, Dave. Jeez.
Well, I'm just saying it can't hurt. Like, at least they're getting a little experience and some practice out in those conditions, so it's not going to be brand new to them when they take the field on Saturday.
They'll get one practice. One.
That's good. That's tomorrow. Enough for this team, man. That's all they need.
I'm having a really hard time with two things.
Hit me with
Okay. Number one, BYU is significantly more experienced. They have some of the most returning production in college football. And then when you throw the coaching staff experience on top of that, too. It's not just the players. It's, in fact, the players coming back is really nice. Don't get me wrong. It is. The staff being together for as long as they have is probably even more of a big deal than that.
Yeah.
I agree. So that's obviously an advantage to BYU. There's no debating it. However, USF has an advantage in that they have two new coordinators. You don't know what they're going to do.
Yep.
BYU struggled with this against Arizona. Now, I will be quick to point out, it's not a fair comparison, the Arizona game. A lot of fans keep bringing this up, and I will die on this island even if they lose. It's not a fair comparison because BYU had a lot of new last year.
This is true.
They were trying to figure out a new quarterback. They were figuring out a new offense, you know, with just new pieces. And then on top of that, Jaren Hall's top receivers did not play in the game and got hurt in the game. And Aaron Roddick has talked about that in the past, that the reason the passing game took so long to come along last year is because it took a while for the quarterback and the receivers to be healthy at the same time and to get on the page at the same time. So I don't know if I have the answer to my own thoughts. I'm just saying, you know, it's not necessarily fair to compare because that was the first time Roderick and Hall had called the game together. That's not going to be the case this year. So I think in the end, I think BYU still has an advantage when you compare those two elements to this game. But there, I won't lie that there is a bit, the element of surprise could make it difficult for BYU early on. And then after that, it just depends. Against Arizona, yes, it was a struggle, but the defense hung in there. And by the second quarter, they figured some things out and then began to pull away.
Yep.
With the conditions and everything else we've talked about, if they get off to a slow start and try to figure out answers on the fly, do they find themselves down 10 or 14 to nothing? So that's what I'm really struggling with.
I think those are all fair points. I mean, I don't know, though. I just – watching those interviews and things with this team, man, there is just this quiet confidence about them. And just like you said, I mean, we're bringing so much back. The continuity on the staff. I mean, I don't know. Even if they do throw some crazy stuff at us, this team is so experienced that and the coaching staff is so experienced, it shouldn't take more than a quarter – at the most, I feel like, to be able to adjust to whatever USF is doing and then just start running away. So I don't know, man. I just, on paper, I just feel like BYU should roll in this one. But
I agree.
Yeah. Oh, on that note, when you're talking about the health of receivers, there's still obviously the rumors out there, the speculation on Gunner's health. And Puka.
What are the rumors, really, Dave? Give us some insight to Cougar Board, if you would.
All right. So the rumors being that, you know, early on in practice or in fall camp, when Gunner Romney had that great catch but landed on the football, that he messed up his kidneys. Like, his mom posted to Instagram he was in the hospital, you know, because of
– This is all true except for the kidney part hasn't been confirmed.
Okay. Gotcha. And so – So the speculation and the rumor was that it was something he was dealing with, that the expectation was the coaches were just going to keep him out of fall camp with expectation he'd be ready to go by game one, but there's still some uncertainty there. And then people are talking about Puka as well. I haven't seen anything really on Puka, and I don't know why people are wondering about him being injured. I think the only thing is just that he was held out of, you know, some of the scrimmages and things, but so were a lot of guys. And he just didn't need to play. And so I would be shocked if Puka did not play. With Gunner, I could see it maybe either way, but I still am expecting both of those guys, I think, to suit up.
So, okay. There's a lot to unpack here. Gunner, well, let me get a couple shameless plugs in here. Yeah. So tomorrow on KSL News Radio, me and Mitch Harper, we will be doing, well, by the time you listen to this, it'll be the same day as this. Anyways, me and Mitch Harper are doing a noon special on Friday on KSL News Radio, 12 to 1, breaking down the game. And then on Saturday, me and him are also doing pregame from 10 to noon. So the reason I bring this up is Gunnar Romney spoke with, I think it was the Jake and Ben show in Utah for KSL Sports Radio, The Zone. And he said, it's still day by day. He worded it. I need to go back and listen to the clip. We'll be sure to play it before the game on my radio shows. But he made it sound like he wants to play and he's running around, but he needs to be cleared medically. That was me reading between the lines. So I think if it was up to him, he would play. But I think, I mean, it's really sad to say this, but I think it's going to be game by game this year for Gunner, which is a real bummer.
Oh, I hope that's not the case. That guy deserves to be healthy, and that's
I know. It actually bothers me that he got injured on that play, because I'm like, freaking D-Lo, why are we tackling people with no pads?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
You got beat. Just let him have the moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyways, we could probably go. That's a rabbit hole to go down another day, but I have something else to tell you about the wide receiver room, but I don't want to say it publicly, so I will tell you after this.
Ooh, okay, fair enough.
I'll give you a little inside scoop. You deserve it, but awesome. You can't post it on Cougar Board, Dave.
I won't. I have not posted on Cougar Board in years. I lurk, but I do not post.
Oh boy.
All right. I was just gonna ask, so what's your prediction then for Saturday?
Oh, we're getting to that already, huh?
Oh, we don't have to. Sorry. I didn't know if there was more for you more you want.
I'll give it to you. I think it's 31-17 BYU.
Interesting. Okay.
And you have 45-17?
I have 45-17. I think this offense, and you yourself in our last podcast, we're talking about this offense should be incredible. You think we're only putting up 31?
I'm being conservative because of the weather and because of the newness of the USF team.
Okay.
But a double-digit win should still be enough to move you up the rankings.
Yes, I would agree. I'd agree.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You know, go ahead. And then I've got a question for you, and then we can – that'll be good for this first one.
Yeah, no, that sounds good. I was just going to say, I hope our defense locks them down more. I know 17 is still really good.
It's great. Are you kidding me? 17 is phenomenal.
Yeah, especially on the road. I'm just greedy. Like, I'm secretly hoping for, like, you know.
Dude, the days of holding people under 10, that's just a different game. You know what I mean? The new barometer is probably 20. Anything under 20 is a great defensive game.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I don't know if you saw the Oklahoma State Central Michigan game today where they were.
I did.
I mean, that was crazy. Oklahoma State had, like, what, a top five defense last year and then gave up 550 yards to Central Michigan.
Well, the coordinator went to Ohio State. Let's not forget that.
Gotcha. So that will make a difference, but that was crazy. I mean, I think I turned that thing off after it was 51-15, and then I saw it like ended 58-44. And man, college football's back, baby. I love it. It's great.
Okay, final thing. We already gave our predictions.
Yeah.
So I'm going to talk first.
Okay.
But I'm going to tell you what I'm going to talk about so you can think about what you want to add. You've talked about this offense. You've talked about the quiet confidence. When you said that, two things came to mind for me. One comment from A-Rod, a comment from Hall that has me really excited for the offense. I'll start with the Jared Hall one. I think it was week one of camp. He was asked how he stays healthy. And he was like, oh, I put a little muscle, but I'm like, whatever. Yeah, like we hear that all the time. You know what I mean? That doesn't mean a whole lot. He's like, honestly, having the game slow down and being more prepared is probably, I'm paraphrasing here, but that's another way to stay healthy. And I love that from him because I'm like, you know what? It's so true. If you know what the defense is doing and you can get the ball out or change the play, you have a much better chance. You know, it's not so much slide or get out of bounds. Like, yeah, those things help. But, like, if you're just playing chess at a higher level than the other person playing chess, I think you have a great chance of winning. So that brought me a lot of optimism. And then Aaron Roderick this week said that Jaren Hall, out of all the quarterbacks he's coached at BYU, will have the most autonomy to change plays.
Wow.
So both of those comments to me just make me feel like Jaren Hall mentally, from an IQ perspective, is further ahead than anybody maybe in the independent era. That's maybe I'm overreacting to those comments, but I just feel like this dude is at an NFL level of mastery of the position. And wow. Does it help that he's had the same quarterback coach for the whole time? Absolutely, it helps. But that's an advantage. So I'm like, I'm all in on the Jaren Hall train. You know me, I bought the stock a long time ago. But those two comments I thought were really interesting because I'm like, this isn't about he's fast, we'll use his legs. Like, this is about the mental side of the game. And that matters. So yeah, that has me really optimistic for this season if he can stay healthy.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting that you bring that up because in the Kentucky Coaches Show, I think somebody asked the question or sent a question in and asked Kalani, like, where will we, the fans, see the biggest change in Jaren's game this year? And it was interesting, his response, because – it's not something that I think is super visible, but it's exactly what you talked about. He talked about Jaren's IQ and his knowledge of the game and how it's just grown so much this year. His awareness, you know, and like you talked about, his kind of understanding of the defense. And so he mentioned specifically Jaren's IQ and knowledge of the game as being the biggest, you know, adjustment that he's seen. And when we talk about this, I mean, you know, Jaren, he's got the arm, he's got the athleticism, he's got the legs, and man, you add the knowledge of the game, that experience in there. I mean, I'm with you. I think the sky's the limit for him and for this offense, and that if he can stay healthy, like you said, knock on wood. I mean, I think that this team can go some places this year. So I'm excited for them to lace it up and get it going on Saturday, Matt.
I know. I cannot wait, Dave. This was a good little entry into our weekly conversations.
I agree. This was awesome, Matt. It's always good to sync up. I'm sorry Jordan wasn't able to join us.
But I know. I know. So he could bring in a little negativity. The first time around when we did this in, what was it, 2018, I was Mr. Negative. But I'm feeling like Jordan's taking that. role this year.
He has, which is, well, you know, I don't know. I should probably reserve judgment. We've only had him on once, but
you're right. You're right.
He was a little bit more reserved than I thought. Granted, he did have that, you know, extensive dental work. I think he had mentioned the last time we had the podcast. So let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he'll come in strong, you know, in our next one.
All right. Well, enjoy the game, and we'll break down our predictions next week as we get ready for the Baylor game.
Sounds good. Go Cougs.
Go Cougs. See you, Dave.
See you, Matt.